we're going over the understanding of wisdom, which is the application of knowledge based on understanding. And I always like to start with this because this is the fundamentals of life, because you can never know what you've never heard. You can not understand what you don't know. And you cannot apply what you do not understand. And you cannot succeed in what you've never applied. This is so fundamental. And I always like to go through this. Because we must go from hearing to getting to know the knowledge, to spending time understanding the application of it, and then actually applying it. And the problem we have in life is we try to jump, right? We go from, I hear something and I want to apply it straight away. No, no, no. Big gap. There is a huge gap there. And you cannot get any form of consistent results doing that way or thinking that way. You must go through the step by step. You must hear it. You must get to know the knowledge. You must spend time studying it to understand it. And then, only then, when you apply it, there's a consistency in results. And I'm speaking from a personal point of view, because I've done this for years and years after years. Crazy miracles have been taking place in my life. Now, sometimes what we do in this study, we use ancient texts such as the Bible and stuff. We use some ancient scriptures because there's so much wisdom hidden into it. Not from a religious point of view, because I don't want to do anything with religion. But the Bible itself is not even religious. It's got a lot of psychological truth based on the mind. And so if we start using some of these texts to reflect the mind, you would be surprised how many things you learn from it. And if the mind governs your life, then you can kind of use the Bible as an autobiography to understand your mind. Now, we've been going into this series, and we've been focusing on controlling the mind. And we're going to continue from there on. We're going to branch on into understanding the feelings today. But I'll just do a quick recap about controlling the mind. And these are the questions we ask ourselves on a daily basis. We look at people in our lives and we say, get yourself together. Control your emotions. Control your mind. And the question we ask there is, can the mind really be controlled? Suppose I said to everybody that's thinking right now, there's thoughts flying through your mind. Suppose I said, I want you to stop thinking in 3, 2, 1, stop. You can do it. But what we've been doing is we've been trying to do this our whole lives. You're thinking a certain thought or thinking a certain way and you say, stop, stop, stop now. And hoping that by telling your mind to stop, things will change and so forth and you'll be able to get some results from it. We've been forcefully trying to change our inner selves. And what we discussed from a couple weeks ago and so forth was that the mind is like a child. A lot of parents are trying to control their child, but we all know very well that it's impossible. That the child may do what you tell them to do for only that split second or that certain moment. But in the back of their mind, they got something else running in. And the moment they get a little bit of freedom, boom, they're gone. They're gone. And so we've been trying to do this with our mind all the time, trying to physically control it, physically change it. And it doesn't work. Matter of fact, the more you try to make changes to it forcefully, the worse you get. Because then you get into a stage of condemnation because you say, I don't want to do this. And you see yourself doing it. And then you condemn yourself and you say, damn, I'm horrible. I suck. I'm this. I'm that. And that gets you stuck into a loop of condemnation. And there's no way coming out of it. And so we looked at this very scripture that said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs all the issues of life. And this was very interesting because the issues of life doesn't spring from the people around you. It springs from within you, just like the thoughts come out. When you start thinking a negative thought, nobody's there instructing you, think negative thoughts now. It springs from within you. It's generated and springing from within you, from inside of you. And so now, what do we came out to? We went to this process to understand how we kill ourselves as humans. And I'll thoroughly go through this slide here, because it's always fundamentals. And so what happens? We always start with the first one, which is a lack of knowledge, and that has to do with identity and feeling powerless. For example, I go to a certain job and I think of myself, what is my identity in this position, in this job? And the position they've given me is I'm a casual. The moment I identify myself as a casual, I am powerless. I can't make any decisions, any changes. And so that affects everything I do from there on. So your original identification shapes the rest of your mind. Because your mind, on a constant basis, it's always asking you, what do you think of yourself? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? It happens so fast, so quick. And as you answer to yourself, I am this, straight away. It's like a program or pre-written program. You identify yourself as a casual, the power gets taken away from you, everything flows behind it, straight away. So what happens? So we lack knowledge of our identity, and that produces doubts. Because when I'm faced in a situation, I'm not sure now. I'm a casual, I'm not sure. Am I doing the right thing? Am I thinking the wrong thing? Should I ask for help? Should I not ask for help? And the words that usually pop up in our minds is, I'm not sure. If I can, if I can't, I can't decide. It comes with decision making. And so what does that do? When you continue doubting, it produces certain fear. Well, then what's the fear? The fear is, if I don't know if I can or can't, then I'll ask myself, what if? Well, what if I make the wrong decision? What if I make this decision and it doesn't go the way I wanted it to go? Well, what's the next step after that? I get anxious and I get stressed. And anxiety and stress is essentially just overworking the mind. It's just putting the mind on high amount of energy consumption, where it's you're constantly tormenting your brain, asking yourself questions. What if I can't, can I decide, what will happen to me? And all that is overworking the mind. It's just a thought overdose. You're overdosing your mind with thoughts. That's what that is. And so anxiety expressed gives us depression. And so this depression now is all mood control. It's habit control. It's when you stick to a certain state, that a very low state of mind for a long time. Why are you sticking to a low state of mind for a long time? Because really, your mind is overthinking. Why is it overthinking? Because you don't know what if. What don't you know what if? Because you're not sure. Why aren't you sure? Because you don't know who you are. And so this is the pattern of the mind. Every day. And so what happens when now depression takes us to a point where we start taking away the functionality of the human body away from its original functionality? Let me rephrase that and say in a better word. We stop, will be a better flow. Let me give an example. For example, if I was to cut myself, this body is designed to heal itself. No instruction. You don't need to say, heal yourself or do whatever. It does it on its own. Well then, what's an infection? An infection is when I try to stop it from healing itself. And so we do that with the mind by constantly overthinking. And we overthink because we're scared. We have the fear. And we fear because we're doubting. We don't know what if. And we do that because we're not sure what sort of power we have in the situation. And so what happens? When we infect our mind with thought process, that causes sickness because it stops the body functioning the way it's supposed to do. And so what you do is you see a lot of people that go through depression, and it has a full effect on their whole full body. Because the body is at this stress level for a very long time. It's only supposed to experience this certain stress level for a short period of time to protect us. The body was designed to, I'm seeing danger, the stress level rises, I move myself from danger, that's it. Well, then we've conditioned ourselves, I see danger, I see problem, I don't go out and fix it, I just stay in that state. Constantly dwell on it, think about it, and then we find ourselves with friends, who we call best friends. Matter of fact, our environment is one of the biggest problems because we've connected ourselves with people that are uplifting this dysfunction. Because that is a dysfunction. It's the mind not working the way it's supposed to work. And so you go to a certain person and you ask them, you've been through this? Like, yeah, man, my boss did this, me. And they give you that affirmation. And you feel like, yeah, that's the right way I should be. And I always give this example. I was on a bus one day, and I was riding to the bus home, and there was two ladies sitting in front of me, and they started having arguments about who's more diagnosed with stress, who's diagnosed with more sickness, and so forth. And I remember, like yesterday, I'm more depressed than you. I got diagnosed yesterday. What did you get diagnosed with? I said, why? I stopped there and I hit them. I said, why is this an achievement? Essentially, what you're saying is, I'm dysfunctional. Another person say, I'm more dysfunctional than you are. Another person say, I'm better dysfunctional than you are. And it's become like a very nice achievement. And well, then sickness happens, and so it shortens our life, and we're living an undesirable life, and that causes death. And so a lot of people don't die, they kill themselves, because it's premature death. Because the moment you infect the mind, it's only a matter of time until it starts deteriorating. And it starts breaking down. And so sickness catches on to us easy because the body was designed to fight against it. Well, if the body can't fight against it, then you've broken the system. Now, before we go into the next slide, any questions? This is a very fundamental slide. All right, yeah? Go over it once from outline. All right, let's have a look. I'm in the front of a situation, and the first question my mind asks me is, who are you? And it happens so fast. And so that question, who are you, is to determine how much power do I think I have in that situation. For example, if you're a CEO of a company, there's a problem, your mind quickly asks you, who are you? And then you realize, hold on, I'm a CEO, I got to decide. People are around me, I got to act, I got to do something. You feel powerful. Well, then if you don't think you're someone of use, when the mind questions you and says, who are you? And you think you are incapable, so you lose power. And it's not that power is given to another and taken away from you. No, it's you decide. It tells you, decide, do you want power or not? And you say, no, I don't want power. And so it takes power away from you. Well, if it takes power away from you, then everybody must treat you like you have no power. Well, you can't blame the people that are treating you bad. They're treating you like that because you've said you've had no power. And so from the top down, what happens? I go through this series of identity, and what that creates, it tells me that I have no power. And when I feel like I have no power, I doubt myself. And when I doubt myself, I'm not sure if I can do something, if I can't do something. If I'm not sure if I can or can't do, I can't decide. And if I cannot decide, I fear. What if I decide? And it's the wrong decision. What if I say this and this doesn't work out? And I said last week, I said, the reality is this. When you really understand the scheme of things, you understand that your decision-making only plays about 5 to 10% of the actual results. You'd be surprised. We think how we decide actually brings everything into creation, but the decision does so little, and the rest is all about how your mind functions and how it's programmed, how it works, how it flows, and the images you play around your mind. Now, what happens? So I doubt myself, so then I go into fear, what if? And what fear, what if does, it overworks the mind because I'm constantly questioning myself. And so when I'm constantly questioning myself, it creates a mood. I'm in that mood for a long time, and that's the depression mood, and that controls my habits. And so you see a lot of people, when they're depressed, they don't want to get off the bed. They just want to stay there and lay there the whole day, do nothing, and just depressed about what their life has to offer. Why? They feel powerless. And so I always say this. I said, insecurity means that you believe that you don't have the power within to impact and affect your external world. That's what, when someone says I'm insecure, that's what they're saying to you. I do not believe I have the power to make change. And I'm relying on something external out of me to change me or to change my life. And so what usually we do, we run to relationships or we run to an external source and we say, save me from myself, save me. And so when you find someone in a relationship and that person doesn't give you what you're expecting, you get so disappointed because you're hoping that they were going to be the savior to save you from yourself. Well then, that depression stage leads us to sickness, and sickness will shorten your life. And you will live an undesirable life. And so that leads to death. And so a lot of people don't die, they kill themselves. And matter of fact, I believe this knowledge here is the knowledge the education system should have been teaching us from early on. Because we go through life not knowing what's going on in our minds. Well, now, what do we talk? We talked about this. We said the conscious mind and the conscious is what a man knows, and the subconscious is what a man is. And so if we're talking about from the mind standpoint of view, your conscious mind is only 5 to 10%. And the subconscious is the whole 90% left. And all the work gets really done in the subconscious mind is where you have no control over it. That's why habits are so dangerous, because it happens without your awareness. You don't even know it's taking place. And so we said, if we want to change the mind, we must learn to communicate with it. Because it's like a child. The best way to transform the child is to learn how to communicate effectively. And so we've looked at two communication methods, which we experience on a daily basis, which are feelings and telepathy. An example of telepathy is, for example, I always say the relationship between a baby, a newborn baby, and the mother. Everybody seems to be guessing what the baby is going through, but the mother always knows what the baby needs. She doesn't guess. There is a form of communication that doesn't require language. Or matter of fact, we all even do it in grown-ups. You might think of a certain person, and then 5 minutes later, that person calls you. And then they tell you, I was thinking about you too. Well, what happened then? Was something happening in the background that we didn't know of? Yes. Well, then we have another language which we go really deep into, which is feelings. We see clearly if you bump yourself on the table, you get a certain vibration and frequency that gets sent to your thoughts in the nervous system, hits the mind, and it tells you you are hurt. And so vice versa, if I'm feeling a certain thought, it sends a certain frequency and vibration, which is the language, and it goes to the body. And the body, and you see people's face frown and go down according to the thoughts they're thinking in their mind. It's almost as if you can read someone's mind just from their body language. Because there's a language happening through there, and feelings is that language, which we're going to go through today. And so we did a small exercise last week to match thoughts and feeling, to see what sort of thoughts will be produced in you. And essentially, this was all to do with programming, because one of these feelings is your go-to feeling. For example, when someone loses a job, different people have different feelings they go to. And I explained it like on your text emoji. What happens is, if you use the smiley face emoji last, the next time you open up your text, guess what's looking at you first? The smiley face emoji. Because it's your go-to. It's the last thing you used. And it's the same thing with when it comes to feelings and emotion. The last emotion you went to is the first one that's going to turn up. And so when I lost my job and I couldn't find work everywhere, I went through a whole process, but the emotion that went through me was an emotion of motivation. I said, well, okay, if I can't get any job, I'm going to change the meaning of that. It's not going to be Joe is jobless. It's going to be I'm too expensive for these people to pay me. Well, if I'm too expensive for somebody to pay me, then I start a company of my own. And I did. And so those companies start rocketing. And people look at me and say, wow. Well, there was a split second of decision mixed with an emotion that made that reality possible. Well, then, we won't go into this exercise, but we're going to touch into what we're supposed to discuss today, feelings. What is it? Everybody says, I feel this, I feel that, feelings this, feeling, he hurt my feelings. Hurt your feelings, how do you do that? How do we actually do that? Here's a mic. Who would like to tell us, what's your understanding of feelings? Anybody?
I think, well, what's that? Hello?
Yeah, there we go.
I think feelings are emotions that you allow into your presence.
Yeah. Anybody else? What is it? We talk about it like we understand it, but we've actually never questioned ourselves. What is it? I feel hurt. What you mean you feel hurt? Feelings, what is it?
I also think it's energy in motion.
Yeah, you're saying something. I think the mic might not be on. You flick it up.
I think feelings are result of our thoughts.
The rhythm of our thoughts.
The results of our thoughts.
The results of our thoughts, yeah.
And what I can say is wisdom makes me feel high.
Yeah.
I don't consume any you know, like any other substances. But when I, you know, like, I just came here to feel high. I want to stay high.
That's the way. Wisdom makes you feel high. I love that statement. And actually, I used to use that statement all the time. People ask me, Joe, why aren't you trying this smoke or this drink or whatever? And I'll ask them, why are you going to these substances? And they'll say, I want to be more adventurous, more courageous. I want to be high. I want to just feel like I can do whatever I need to do. And I looked at them and I said, I'm already like that. It's a natural state. If you can enhance your senses without using a substance, that's the greatest level of enhancement. If you can tap into a state whenever you feel like it, imagine that level of power. If I want to feel this, I feel this. If I want to feel this, I feel this. There's times where I sit there and I'm walking around and I said, you know what? Right now, I want to feel loved. And so I just sit there, close my eyes, generate love. And I burst an immense level of feelings in me. Love for self. And I look around and I just feel complete love. Well, then if I want to feel a certain way, I control over it. I can generate it. Well, you can do the same too. Well, matter of fact, if we start doing that, it will stop a lot of people from saying, I feel alone. I need somebody in my life. Well, anybody else? Feelings. What is it? You got to flick the mic up, sorry. All the way up.
Okay. Is it working now?
No, you got to all the way up. No, we need... Yeah, it's on. You flicked it on. It's on now. Yeah.
I think it's a bit similar to what he was saying. So it's all about our thoughts.
Yeah.
So thoughts become actions. And like you're explaining before,
yeah,
that the words that you think about eventually makes your body feel sick or
yeah,
makes your body feels like really high. So feelings are your thoughts pretty much, like they're the emotions that you're thinking about, and eventually they come to life the more you think about them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Then the question I'll ask is this. Can you think of a negative thought and feel different? Is that possible? Why is that, Layton? He's gone. Yeah, all the way up. It's already up. Just go all the way up. Up. Yep.
So in terms of feeling negative or feeling sad or whatever, like, you can, like, it's definitely something that you can bring onto yourself. Like, for example, in terms of healing, sometimes you need to go through the negative to get out the other side and feel happy. So sometimes you have to embrace that negative and then you'll come out the other side. So sometimes you just have to feel sad, feel crappy, but you come out good.
Very interesting concept right there. Now, let's get past this slide. And for us to really get an understanding, I've written a bunch of terminologies that we'll be using all the time from here on. And this will really help us. And I'll be adding more to this list. So I've written now. I don't know how much you guys can read. Yeah, no, yeah. It's really, really hard to read. You can't? Oh, you can. Okay. That's good. Even though. All right. Let's go. So feeling, what really happens when a feeling is generated? So there is chemicals, there's neurons, which are rearranged into networks to reflect the information from the senses. What does that mean? Let's give it a scenario. I have my five senses, and my five senses are my servants. You are the king or the queen of your own mind, right? So what happens? And the servants of that kingdom is your senses. So what do? We send our senses out to go and scan the whole world. That's what it does all day. It just scans. Scan, collect information. Scan, collect information. And so when it collects information, it brings it back to us. And it's like what used to happen in ancient time, and even now it still takes place. You send soldiers out to spy on a certain land or do a certain job, and they bring reports back. Well, the report they bring back is not good, no bad, until you decide what it is. Well, then if your senses go and scan and realize, hold on, you got no job security, they bring it back to you. Well, someone may go, no, job security, I need to be secure in my jobs. Well, someone like me, when I think that I have no job security, I'm happy. That is the greatest feeling. I hate being trapped. So to me, the information, if it comes back to my senses, to my mind, from the senses, and it says, you don't have any job security, I'm happy. Because that means I can always move on, going to higher level. But to another person, that's a depressing information. Because they're just trying to get through the day-to-day life. They're trying to survive. And they don't think they have the power to get a new job whenever they feel like. A lot of people held on to their job before this corona, and their ideals was that this is it. If I lose my job, I can't get another job. And so for them, security is staying in that job. But if that information comes to me, I'm not happy. That means that I'm not growing. But have a look at the industry world. You'll see a lot of people, 9 to 5, we wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, same repetition every day. Not improving, not going up, not going down. You've been entering data for 15 years, 20 years of your life in government. You're not going up, you're not going down. But you also don't want to move out of it. Though you feel like you're stagnated, you don't want to move out of it because that gives you a certain idea of security. And the only reason you need that security is because you feel that you do not have the power to get another job whenever you feel like it. Imagine what happens when people feel like they can get whatever they need when they feel like it. We do it with food. People don't put too much care into food because they feel like I can buy food whenever I need. Well then, I'll go deeper into feeling later on. So then we have a thought. So it's a sudden occurrence of an idea or information. And so this is generated like a light bulb. Boop, boop, boop. It's so sudden. There's no warning. Your thoughts give you no warning. You sit there, boop, they're popping out of nowhere. There is no formula to control them. There's no formula to sharpen them or shapen them. And that's interesting. And then we have intention. So an intention is when you observe a new future. Whenever you can see a new future and say, I see myself as a CEO, I see myself as this, an accountant, whatever. And you start spending your time observing that future, that's an intention. Because you're always directed towards a destination. You're not stagnating. Well, then we have an attitude. It's a cycle of linked. What does that mean? It means it's a cycle of linked thoughts and feelings. And another word for it, an attitude, is a meaning. That is when the meaning gets given to a situation. For example, the situation I was talking about before, where an information comes from my senses and it tells me I have no job, security. Well, at that very point of time, the attitude is what plays, because I have to now mix the thought and a feeling, and I have to do this. Assign a thought to a feeling. And you do it in your head. You must assign a certain thought to a feeling. And so when you assign to a certain thought to a feeling, that gives you that attitude. It gives a meaning to whatever was, to the information that came through. Well then, where does that meaning go? Once I give it a meaning, and I believe in what I've given it, I put it in my memory. And so that's a record of everything you've experienced, and that's talking DNA, your past, your senses, everything you've experienced, that you've added feelings to it, gets stored in your memory. So the requirement for the memory to remember anything, it needs emotion. For example, nobody's going to forget about COVID-19. Nobody. Why? Because it generated a certain emotion in us. Well, an experience of a breakup or an experience of losing a family member, it generates so much emotion and feelings in us that it puts a stamp, a huge stamp. And so when it puts a stamp, the memory says, all right, I'll take you in, put you on the archive. And so that's why you see people can go in and study and study, 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 nothing goes in, and they feel dumb. But you're not dumb. It's the process of the mind. That the memory only remembers that which you've added some sort of emotion to it or an attachment to it. Well, then when I was at uni, that was my secret to getting high grades all the time. I just knew all I had to do, I had to take that information, just add a little bit of emotion to it, some sort of feeling, close my eyes, and I'll read a certain thing. And so I'll see myself doing that certain job. And I'll be as an engineer, and I'll use the product that I'm supposed to be learning about. And the moment I do that, I create an experience in my head. And so when I go to the exam, I don't have to memorize anything. The experience is already there. It's like, I've studied this stuff for ages, but I've never studied this stuff. I've just turned it into an experience. I turned information into an experience by adding feelings to it. And so I remember one time I was counseling, helping this lady out. And she was sitting there and she started telling me, Joel, in 2016, he did this. 2017, on this date, on this time, he did this. 2018, on this date, at this time. And she's going through every single year telling me what her partner has been doing with specific dates and time and so forth. And that fascinated me. I said, wow. She never had to study any of this. And her memory just retained every single one of it with precise detail. Well, imagine if you can do that on a daily basis. Whenever you feel like an information is a certain level of importance, you just add it to it, some feelings to it, boom, boom, your memory does the work. You don't have to sit there, attitude is linked to attitude is linked to feelings. All that stuff is, we're going against our own system. Don't go against the system. Use the system to your own benefit. Because the system won't change. The way you're designed won't change. You just got to learn how to utilize what you already have. Well, then we have belief. And so belief is a thought that you keep thinking over and over again. And that creates a belief. Well, then, why is it create a belief? Because this is what happens. I'm taking a thought, I'm passing it some emotions and feelings, it generates, I give it a meaning, and then it's stored in my memory. And so when I go through this cycle again, coming back to the memory, and you realize, hold on, I already have it, tick. Come back in memory, I already have it, tick. I already have it, I already have it, I already have it. And so what ends up happening is you realize, oh, if this is already in my memory, then it's true. And so nobody can convince you it's false because it's in your memory. And it's got an attached feeling to it. Well, then, perception is now a bundle of beliefs. And so what our minds actually do is we use the fill-it-in method. And so we base it off memory to overlay the present moment with the experience of the past. What does that mean? For example, if I said right now, what's your idea of God? Nobody here will really tell me the idea of God. Everybody will tell me the experience that they went through and fulfill the rest. So for example, it's like a bottle, right? All we really know could be 10% of the bottle. The whole rest of 90%, you're going to go through to your memory and say, what is the experience you have stored? And we're going to take that experience and we're going to fill up the rest. And we do it for everything. We do it for our family members. And we say stuff like, you always do this. Well, nobody always does something. You're always mean to me. Nobody's always mean to somebody on a consistent basis. But what we've done is we've taken a certain experience that had a lot of emotion added to it, and we've used it to fill up our experience of that person. And we use it to fill up the experience of that manager. And to you, it seems so true because it's in your memory. And so the way you view everything from there on is through those eyes. Because the eyes don't see, the mind does. The eyes, just like any other senses, just collects bunch of information. You give it a sort of meaning. Now, perceptions governs our reality. Because opportunities, we will never see it if we keep filling up with old opportunities or old experiences, sorry. And so what happens is we get to a time where there's a great need for us to become a better person or to get this certain job or to get this certain thing. But then someone says, well, I want to work for that company. They did so and so to me. Well, that stamps your mind. Now you get a certain experience from somebody else. Somebody else takes their experience to try to stab it in you. And so what happens? Whenever you stand in front of that opportunity, the whole thing, the only thing playing in your mind is that which is stored in your memory. And we do it even in job interviews. The people hiring may say nothing at all. You've already constructed what they could have said, how they would have thought of you. Nobody said a single word. Well then, I want to open this floor up to a bit of discussion about perception and this process here. And I know right now, a lot of you guys are saying, that's what happened this, that's what happened there. And you can kind of pinpoint and cross off and say, this experience, this is what happened. I took this thought, turned it into this intention or this attitude. This memory gave me a bad view of this. That was my perception. And so that stopped me from getting the job. That stopped me from getting new opportunities. That stopped me from doing this and this. And so I just want to open up a discussion. So turn to the person next to you and discuss about these things. What perception do you think has really formulated or created the life you live today? Because it's all your life, your reality right now is fully based on a certain perception you created in your own mind. Talk ahead. Perception. Suriman, speak to the man. Hello, hello. So what perception do you think has created the life you live today?
I was thinking back to when we're young. They're like, oh yeah, what do you want to be in life when you grow up?
Yeah.
So I feel like those kind of thoughts start so early. And you're like, oh yeah, I want to do this. I want to go to school. I want to get a job, a full-time job. I want to buy a house. And all that. So sort of like live life having to think of all those steps that you have to do.
Yeah. When you grow up, yeah. So it's like a formula someone has given you how to be successful in life. They said success is this, and they've given you that. And so, like, and that's for all of us actually, because our whole entire life is just of that framework someone's given. Someone's given like a framework and said, this is what success means and happiness means. Boop. What about you, Ruben? Do you have any perception of life that you reckon created this life that you're living in right now? Is there any ideas that you used to think of or you still think of that put you in the position you are right now? And I know this is a big question because you really got to sit there and think, but your life has everything to do with the view. Because the moment you change the way you look at something, what you look at change.
I'm so guilty for that, having step on other people's thoughts, and I'm reflecting back on my own life, opportunities that I've probably missed out because my mind has told me,
I
don't work with these people because they're this and that, but I'm like, well, I could actually rephrase my mind to be like, all right, you can do this. Like, if this has happened to someone else, it's going to happen to you as well.
100%, yeah. That one is very big when people take their experience and try to rub it onto you. And one of the things is even this idea of racism. A lot of people say, white people won't let you climb in through your career, they'll stop you, there'll be this and this and this. Well, I had to really wash my mind to get it out of mind. If not, I could not be where I am today. Because every time someone does something to me, I will associate with race. And that was a perception they've given me, associated with race. But it's not race, it's just people in general. Your own kind talk bad about you. One of the reasons why Africa is not moving forward is because the problem is within. We our own brothers and sisters, we act like we love them, but from the way the continent is going, that's not the case.
Well, I guess everyone just wants to be better than the other person.
100%. All the countries, they're always competing. And never helping out. And so the mentality makes us think that it's us against this race or us against that, but it's not true. And this perception has stopped so many people from actually succeeding in life. I'm not even lying. People have come up to me, they've let down of job opportunities, let down of experiences. Why? Because somebody said they're going to be racist to you. And I always look and I laugh. Your own cousin doesn't like you.
Yeah.
You do know that, right? Your own cousin doesn't like you. Your own family member don't talk good about you.
Yeah.
And so we got to be very weary of especially taking other people's experience and turning them into ours.
Yeah. I've actually pretty much done the same to my own self.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought, oh yeah, they don't like me, so I'll just distance myself. Like, I did nothing to try and fit in and all that. So
yeah.
I poisoned my own self.
100%. And at that point, you got to give it a meaning.
Yeah.
They probably hate me because I'm black or because I'm this or because. Yeah, you see, your mind tells you why, and you got to answer to that.
Yeah.
And just like you said, it's a poison. It's contagious, and if it's an infection, Because the moment you use that excuse for one thing, you start using that excuse for everything.
Wow, I've got less to think about.
And you'd be surprised. Challenges in life are supposed to grow you. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. But we don't want to grow. We want to everything to come our way. I had a person come up to me and say, what if I can just get everything I want? I said, that's the problem. Okay, let's say, for example, someone, you say, you want everything you want, right? Someone says, I want $1 million. And I say, oh, yeah, tomorrow you can have $1 million. And then you say, I want $3 million. I say, oh, yeah, tomorrow you can have it. And then tomorrow you say, I want $10 million. There you heard. What that does, you get to a point where everything will feel meaningless. And so there will be no joy, no excitement, no nothing. Life will just be dull because there is no process. A process has been removed. And so in our minds, we always think, I want to be rich, and we want to be successful in this and this. And we want to skip the process and get to the end of it. But it's like music. If I said, listen to music, obviously you don't take a song and you skip towards the end. Because you missed the whole experience of the song. And that's how life is. You must listen to the song from the start to the end.
Yeah.
Not skip to the end. If you skip to the end, what you've done, you've insulted the artist. Yeah, the next slide. The next slide should be on some good stuff. How you doing? What perception? I'm going to ask you about your perceptions. Because you went through a big change. Huge change of perception. Cool. All right. Let's bring it back, everybody. Let's bring it back. Yo. Thank you. I hope you guys had some good discussion. I might just go around, pick out a few people just to hear a bit. Samirin, what can you tell us about your perception and the change of it?
I just want to read a quote that's really interesting, and it's very deep, I think. So I just want to like read it aloud. I don't want to miss any of those words he mentioned here. So, what if I told you the only way to escape Matrix is to unlearn everything that you have been taught and rebuild your entire belief system based on critical thoughts and analysis?
What does that mean to you?
It means like as individuals, we all have been programmed. Our minds have been nothing like we all have been conditioned to think certain things, like from our own experience, from our own religion. And so we are just like kind of, most of us are like only limited to one belief, but we're not open to, you know, like think about how, you know, what is the true source of knowledge, you know, what is the true wisdom, and we're not like not open to different source. And
yeah,
I think it's really important to have a mental model. I think it's that's what I've read a few days ago. That means if a person tells a doctor or an engineer or a restaurant worker or whoever the job is to describe the same thing, all of them will have different perspective, but none of them will be wrong. Like, they will describe those things from their own experience. So it's very necessary to develop different, not like see the problem from different angle, like step back and think all the perspective, like lot of have developed, we can develop that in our mind, and you know, I think that will help us solve the problem in our life effectively. Yeah,
100%. So, going back to the core question I was asking before, because you went through, I remember you were going through a period where you shifted mindsets and shifted perceptions. What do you think really generated that? That when you went from thinking a certain way to completely a different person, essentially. You're not the same person I used to know.
Yeah, it's true. I was not the same, I'm not the same person I was before. I love wisdom and I love reading books. I love reading, discovering, you know, like, I wanna seek the truth. I wanna know more than this. I wanna just not listen onto media. Like, what I've done in this last year is I have detoxified myself from all kind of media. Ooh, social.
Use that word again.
No social media.
I want to hear it again.
I don't want to have media to control, you know, like control my brain. I only see things, read things, go to places, you know, that I really love doing. I ask myself, like, you know, do I really want to see this? And if I watch videos as well, I'm trying to, like, still I'm on the process, like, to really do what I want to do. And because I think nowadays, like, most of our brains are controlled by external source, and we don't tend to look internal, within ourselves,
yeah,
and discover what is the true potential of is one of us here, you know, like, it's great. And I've been looking into, not only from, like, I've been reading Bible, I've been reading Bhagavad Gita, and
yeah,
not only those, I've been Socrates. I think many of you have heard of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. So I want to, like,
seek, you're seeking knowledge everywhere.
Seek knowledge from
2400
years ago.
That's the way.
Ago,
that's,
you know,
the,
like,
way.
I want to, like, what is the true source?
Yeah.
You know, and it has, like, it has affected, you know, like, if I don't have a job tomorrow, I want to be debt free first, you know, like, I think I'll be happy. Like, I got some more time to discover, look into myself. That's what I see.
Yeah.
If I don't have a job, I won't have a problem.
No worries. What about Layton? What you got for us?
Okay, so what we came up with, Sizzle and I came up with, was perception is the response you take from events or, you know, your experiences or memory, etc. And one of the examples we said was, well, Sizzle 3 weeks ago, she lost a couple contracts from Palmerston City Council. And her first perception and her first thoughts were, man, stuff this, you know. What is, like, the world's unfair, like, this sucks, like, 2 contracts in less than 10 minutes. You know, this sucks, like, but, like, for us, we sat down and we said, look, like, let's change our perception on this. Like, let's really think about this. Like, this here is an opportunity. This here is an opportunity to go out, you know, work harder on our own projects, on our own stuff, you know, and really, develop ourselves and find value in other things.
Yeah.
So basically, a couple of weeks ago, I lost 3 contracts. Although business contracts, and within the space of 10 minutes, 2 phone calls were like, we don't want you, we don't need you to come in anymore. So I was like, okay. At first I was panicking, I was like, oh, this is unfair. I was blaming everyone else, and I went. Then I came here on Monday, and I came here, and then she was talking about letting go and ride it like a wave, and I was like, I was trying to resist. Because what you resist will persist. So he was telling me how you've got to ride it like a wave, because if you stand at a beach and you try to hold the wave back, is the wave going to demolish, or are you going to be demolished? The wave will come on top of you. So I let it go. I was working on some other things. And then that week later, that same Monday, I get 3 contracts. In fact, these 3 contracts had all been extended by 20 weeks each. So I went, don't resist it, embrace it, go do something else and leave it alone, and it'll work itself out.
So, yeah, so in our opinion, perception is the response you take to actions, experience, and events that happen to you.
That's good. Cody, let's hear from you.
I was with Alwyn and Kudzai. And we talked about our perception on different topics in our lives.
Yeah.
Kudzai was talking about like being in a loop, like stuck in a loop, and just going through the same motions over and over again. But to grow, it was to step out of the comfort zone. And I said to them like, what is good and evil? And without the loop and the awareness of the loop, you wouldn't be able to grow. And I had chucked another example about COVID-19. Like a lot of people, COVID, it's hit COVID people. COVID has hit people hard.
Yeah.
Like people have lost their jobs. Like my wife actually lost her job, but in a way, it was a blessing. Like my wife lost her job, but then we had access to a super, which the government released.
Yeah.
And with that, we got rid of our debt.
Yeah.
And, to some other people, COVID-19 has increased their jobs. To other people, it's decreased their jobs. And you just got to step back, take a look at it and say, like, what does this mean to me? Like these sort of situations.
Yeah.
I think the mic is it on?
Yeah, you're good.
I think it's also the perception we have of ourselves. And I really like to, I think this is my area that I like to dwell in, the way you perceive yourself, because you can only be to others what you first are to yourself. And I just, when I came to that realization, nothing hit me harder than that. And the reason why I say that is because if you see yourself, if you're going into a room with CEOs, right, and you go, I don't even have a bachelor, you perceive yourself as being small. That's how other people perceive you. It's almost like you're sending out, you know, when you text, you send a message, right? When you perceive yourself as small, you send out messages to people saying, treat me like I'm small. It's literally what you do.
100%.
But if you go into situations and you tell yourself that I'm able to achieve this or I'm smart enough for this, it will determine everything else. So it's about the perception you have of yourself as well.
Alwyn was actually saying that at first when he was studying his uni assignments, that he was thinking, it's hard and I got to do a lot of work for this. But there was came a point in his life where he changed the perception of that and was like, oh, I can do this. It's easy. And he was tied up with his thesis. And then later on, he didn't have much time to study for the test, but he ended up passing it anyways because his thinking changed. It was, this is easy for me, and it was.
I think we got sidetracked with our one. I don't think we asked the right questions. I think we were asking, talking about what's the perception of ourselves.
And no, that's along the line.
What's it called? It kind of brought me to a moment. I went to a baby shower.
Yeah.
It wasn't my baby shower. I'm pregnant, by the way, so I've got a baby in there. And someone told me, someone asked me, oh, what are you going to brainwash your baby with?
Huh?
And I'm just like, and I like dwelt on that like deeply because like, imagine, okay, so say you're a baby, right? Like you literally don't have any perception of anything. You're literally just your, like,
pure. Yeah.
You're a pure being. Like you're just being, So like, and then we grow up and we get like conditioned into our culture and our religion and our family and, so we I guess we didn't really have a choice in that growing up when we're like babies, you know, like it's we get born into this, into a package already.
Yeah.
And I think separating yourself from that as if you were a baby again, like separating yourself from all the beliefs you've accumulated about yourself, you can begin to like change your perception on anything, and like you can choose what you want to believe about yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And like because of the experiences you've had in your life, because of the experiences you've had in your life, you would know how you feel about like a certain experience. Like, you know not to do this because it'll make you feel sad or it'll make you angry. So you hold the, I guess you choose to hold the perception of like not doing that. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, just a little comment.
This world is very interesting, because a man said it this way. He said, when you change the way you look at something, the thing that you look at change. And it's true. So then let's have a look at this slide. What really happens? And on the slide I said, it's written, it says, feeling is a mirror of the meaning of your experience. That's what a feeling is. It's a mirror of the meaning of your experience. So you go through an experience and you have to give it a meaning. Every experience you go through, you must give it a meaning. What does this mean to me? Because your mind will always question you. And so the moment you give it a meaning, that meaning generates a feeling. So what happens? Let's have a look at it in terms of the chemical standpoint of view. The sensors go out and get some information. The information comes back. I give it a meaning. The meaning creates a reflective emotion to reflect the information, the meaning, let's say it a better way. The information, the senses go out, they get information. The information comes back to the mind. At that point of time, I'm faced with a decision making where I've got to give it a meaning. What does this mean for me? And so I give it a meaning that this is what it means for me. And so when this is what it means for me, what the brain does and what the mind does this. It sends all the neurons and says, go and create an emotion that reflects what this meaning means. And so it goes in and creates that, it brings the chemicals together and formulates it into that certain emotion. And emotion is energy that is creating your current reality. That is very it. Nothing is created, or I like to say it this way, nothing happens to you without the involvement or consent of your mind. And so when do you give the consent? In the meaning stage. When you give it a meaning. That is when you give consent. And so what happens? It creates a sort of image, it molds an image. And this image is broadcast to the whole world. Well, if I think very low of myself and I don't have much esteem of myself and I don't think very high of myself, well, then I was helping another lady and she was wondering why she's always attracting really, really bad men. Well, I said, what do you expect to attract? What do you expect to attract? What you've been broadcasting to the world is essentially what comes back. It's always been that way. And you broadcast with your thoughts all day, every day. And the broadcast, we need to understand this, that whether you believe that you have power or not, you always have power. Always. This mind is a very powerful tool. You can use it the right way or you can use it the wrong way, but it will still be used. It will be used at all time. Matter of fact, you use it all the time. You can't stop it from running. It runs without your consent. It just runs and runs and runs. And so if you don't direct it to the right path, it would create its own path or go towards the path of another person or go towards another person's destination. It's because the mind has nothing to do. And that's a very concept that we also need to understand, is that when the mind has nothing to do, it would find something to do. So then you have people that are keyboard warriors on the internet. Their mind is so capable of doing so much, but they're not directing the mind to the right way. So what they end up doing, their whole life, they're just typing on the internet. Bad, good, I like this, I don't like this, this, this. And they want to argue with everybody because they want to push out the energy. They want to push out the energy from the in, from within to outside. And because the energy must constantly flow. Well, if you don't give it a certain direction to where it should go, it just goes everywhere. And it's a disaster. And so now we need to understand this process, which is very crucial. That your senses are not designed to bring forth a certain belief. The senses, all they do is collect information. That's all they do. The rest, you have power to make decision on what you're going to do with the information that's been collected. And so the reason why perception is so big is because we do an autofill. When we see a certain type of information coming, instead of, like Bernadette was saying, we have to die to our perceptions every day. Right? You have to get to a point where new knowledge comes in and you don't feel hurt. Because right now everybody's hurt. Everybody's a victim. The moment you try to change that perception or that belief system, they hurt. Why are they hurt? Is because there's so much archive of that very information, that very knowledge that they've given a certain meaning. And so when you come in with something new, this is not what is in my memory. And they refuse to go beyond what's in their memory. And so what that creates, it creates what? The battle of the intellect. You start using the mind and you start using the brain to fight everything else. And so when it comes to really getting results for your life, what we do is we try to use the brain to fix the brain. That doesn't work. We try to use the program to fix the program. That doesn't work. We must remove all that we had from the beginning. And the question I always try to ask myself every day, I look at a certain thing and I say, what's my perception on life, on trees, on health, on people, on love? Love is one of the biggest things. Most of the highest selling records has to do with love. Everybody is so broken in that area of love. Lack love, this love. We don't know what love means. We don't know this. Well, this music sells us so much because nobody's quite sure what love is. Well, why aren't we sure? Is that because love is complex? No, love is not complex. Is because to really understand the purestness of love, you must be willing to get rid of the information and the meaning and the perception you already have. Take what you already have, throw it away. And so some people, what they do is they get to a certain level of their life and they hate their life. And so they make a decision. They say, you know what? I'm just going to isolate myself in the jungle or become a monk or this, this. What they're trying to do at that point, they're trying to give up on all perception and start from scratch. Well, that's one way of doing it. Or you can start now. You can start today and start ticking off the perception one after another. I feel my perception on life is that life is hard. Well, where did I get it from? You must ask yourself, where did I get it from? Matter of fact, in the Bible, at the very start of it, the story of creation of Adam and Eve, towards the end when they made a mistake and so forth, there's a question which is very interesting that I learned from, which where God asked them and say, where are you? Though he can quite see them, he asked them, where are you? And that question, don't think of it from a man sitting on top of a chair asking you, where are you? No, your mind does that all the time. Your consciousness does that all the time. It constantly questions you, where are you? What are you doing? And the reason it's questioning you with that is because your mind knows very well, your body knows very well, the universe knows very well that you are a powerful being. Well, but we've reduced human faculties to animal faculties. We've put it into one. Why? Because this is what we're doing now. We're just surviving, mating, surviving, mating, surviving, mating. That's what animals do. But the human mind has more than that. But we've reduced it to just these two. I would just want to survive, and I want to mate with somebody. Survive, mate. That's all we do now. But there's no fulfillment in that. Because you always feel like there's something missing. You always feel like there is something missing. And so a man says it this way. He says, marry a clear intention, clear intentional thoughts with an elevated emotion. So if we're going back to what an intention is observing a new future. The key is this, is that in this life, you don't have to do much. You are the boss of this universe, and you don't even know you are. You give instructions to the universe every day. Well, how do you get things manifesting? The first stage is you must get a destination. It's like a GPS. You get in a GPS. If there is no destination on GPS, can you ever get directions? No. Well, then a lot of people worry, they wonder why they never get to the destination. Well, because you've never put a destination to begin with. And one of the things is that we're scared to give a destination because what if I fail? What if I don't make it? What if things that I say don't come through? But there is no joy in playing small. Matter of fact, that what if process can be changed with the word called faith. And people say, oh, I don't want to believe in this. I don't want to believe in anything bigger than this. I said, why not? Oh, what if I fail? What if this happens? But I sat down one day and I was thinking, how much does it cost to believe? How much, anybody? What do you lose from believing? What do you lose? What do you lose? We act like we're losing our whole entire life with it.
You lose your mind.
I see what you're saying there. How much does it cost to believe? People act like it's a million-dollar self. Believe in a better life. Oh, no, man. That's too hard. I don't want to do that. Yeah, what? How much does it cost to believe? And all it is to have an intention which is elevated and mix it with an emotion. That's all it is. A destination and a feeling that I want to get to that destination. And the rest is none of your business. Nobody goes in the GPS and tries to figure out which algorithm the GPS uses to get to your destination. You just listen to the GPS and when it says turn right, you turn right, turn left. And you are sure and guaranteed that the GPS will always take you to your destination. How you think and how you feel manifest everything you have in your life. That's all there is. Well then, what's the first step into getting all this? Well, matter of fact, I wouldn't even say the first step. The highest step, the only step, is to play a game kids do all the time. Kids are the greatest because they know how to pretend. And it's so crazy. Such a small thing makes a huge difference. Well, I lost my job. At that moment, I became a child. I pretended. How would it feel like being a CEO? Well, now I am. It was just a game at one point. And people looked at me and said, you're not a CEO. You have no experience with this. You don't have got this degree and so forth and so forth. Now they look at me and they say, wow, how did you do that? Well, I sat there and I pretended I was an author. Well, now I'm an author. I sat there. I pretended I was a researcher. Well, now I am that very thing I pretended to be. Matter of fact, you do this all the time. You pretend all the time. Well, we just pretend with the wrong thing. Because this power can go both ways. Because if I want to be, let's say, if I want to be Joe the CEO, I must give up on being Joe the dropout. If I'm still identifying myself as a dropout, I cannot access what life has to give me as a CEO because my identity is locked up to this. And so what happened? If my identity is locked up as a dropout, because I failed high school miserably, at some point I used to identify myself as a dropout. I was very suicidal. And that identity, all it did, it created doubts, fear, anxiety and stress, depression, sickness. Well, then I haven't been to the doctors for what? 4 or 5 years, not a single bit. I haven't taken a single chemical or medicine. I haven't stressed for that long. Not a single bit of stress. Because you don't need to. What's this nonsense people telling us you must? And I was working in this workplace and well, Friday, right? And someone comes in the office and is like, oh man, next week is going to be a very stressful week. And I look at them, how do you know this? Where are you coming up with this from? Well, anybody that agreed with him, that week was a stressful week for them. But I didn't see that as for myself. And so the week was a very good week for me. Well then, we'll stop right there for today. Any questions? Any statements? Anybody wants to say anything? We're good? Thank you very much. We're done. You love that. You got to use every minute.